The Simba Room Effect from RPGGods.org and FictionSuit.org.
Welcome to The Simba Room Effect, an actual play podcast brought to you by Dave, Matthew, and the guys from the Coriolis Effect. Let us welcome you back to the Kingdom of Ambria and the Davakar Forest, and to episode 1 of The Tale of the Lonesome Goblin.
So here we are on day 2 of our Norfolk retreat, and we are right now about to play some more Simba Room with the crowd from the Inn of the Lonesome Ogre. So if you just want to briefly introduce yourselves, guys, I think most people probably know who you are anyway, but I'm Dave, the GM.
Oh, we can talk now, can't we?
Yes, right.
You can talk. I'm Andy, Grendel, the changeling.
I'm Tony, playing Redamaramai.
Hey! Woo!
Yes!
Look, only mispronounced once or forgot the name. Redamaramai, the other changeling at the Inn of the Lonesome Ogre.
And I'm Potboy. I don't talk very much.
Thank God.
Oh, just, I guess I'm an ogre.
You guess you're an ogre?
Well, I guess I should say, to people that haven't been introduced to Potboy before, I'm an ogre.
Right. Last time. If you recall, kind of better than I recall, actually, what did happen last time?
I've got the foggiest.
We had some racists in. Didn't like this, us changelings.
So, yes, So, you found out that Ivan Tor was...
a badass.
Still not liking the changelings. He was trying to make sure... Because I've been editing the other podcast, I'm now getting myself all confused about what happened in that and what I've put in this. I'm desperately trying to make sure I don't give you any spoilers. So I don't think I am. So you knew that Ivan Tor had effectively threatened Amla with having the inn shut down if he didn't kick the changelings out. And Amla basically said no. But it took you a little while to get that out of him. There was a brawl, which you again found out was sponsored by Ivan Tor with some heavies, led by a guy called Veerly, who came in and started a fight in the inn.
He was the hunter, wasn't he?
He was the... he ran the stall in the Goblin Market that was selling all the hunter's gear. So he was sending hunters out to get stuff, and selling the gear on the store, which he still is. But you did quite a lot of work to track him down, work out what his weakness was, which was the fact that he's got a mistress, and then basically blackmail him into confessing, which he eventually did. And as a result of that, he confessed to the judge, and the judge... Well, that was kind of where we left it, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
really?
There was also that some weird shit going on in my parents' old cottage, wasn't there?
Yes.
Which think Mr. Tor's behind the game, don't we?
Was that the there was a huge hole, cavern opened up in the basement of the cottage, wasn't there?
When we first visited, there seemed to be some altar down there with some things on it. Were they were they some more stone hearts?
Yes. Weren't they? And I picked one up, and then that seemed to prompt quite a bad thing to happen, of this huge cavity opening up.
And there being some creature, tentacled creature down there that only one of you could really see, which is you, which is Grendel.
Yeah.
And then you managed to escape before any of you got dragged into the chasm with it. And then you went and got the priest, Kenaniah, to come have a look. And that's pretty much where we'd left it. I think, with the exception that right at the end, you found out that Elgor had gone.
Oh, he's dead, isn't
he? Elgor had left to go into the forest to die, which is it's the urge that goblins who don't die from some unnatural reason, it's the urge they get to go and die in the forest when their time is nigh. And Amla is obviously quite upset. So we're a few days since the last scenario.
I also remember that we... Didn't we see Elgor paving straight? We didn't leave the house and
weep around that statue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. So you did also, he was in a terrible fever, but you did get awoken one night with sounds of somebody moving around upstairs in the inn. and then went and investigated and found that Elgor had basically opened up the front door and was still in a sleepwalking trance, but outside sobbing and apologising to the statue for something, for some sin that he thinks he'd committed, and begging to be told how to make things right. And Potboy gently picked him up and put him back in his bed, and he's still been asleep ever since, so no idea what's going on in Elgor's head with any of that. But he seemed to be in a sleepwalk trance the whole time. So there's, yeah, a few strange things going on.
Okay.
So, in the last few days, since Veerle's confession, there was a closed council meeting that happened in the guild hall. Nobody else was allowed to go. And after an hour or two, it was seen that Tor was seen to leave on his own, or with his housemen, but not with any of the other council members, in what looked like a pretty rocking bad mood. He seemed to be pretty angry about something.
Throw him out. Banish him.
The rumour around town is that Tor has been kicked off the council, but nothing official has been said. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows for sure what's going on. There's also been some rumours from... stories really coming from some of the watchmen, some of the guards that have been propagated around the town, that there are, you know, you're hearing this being talked about in the bar. That there are more monsters roaming around Granite Hold at night.
Something's
a bit different. But again, because nobody really goes out.
Different from the normal monsters that are roaming around at night. Because nobody goes out at night anyway.
So the watchmen don't tend to
go out.
They don't patrol. Mm. They do go out to see what's going on, just kind of test the water, as it were. But so these are rumours. You don't know how much truth there is in them. You don't know, actually, whether the guards do go out at all in the night. They might just be saying, because they are, you know, their heart's in the right place, but they aren't the most professional outfit that the Kingdom of Ambria has ever seen. So is there anything that you guys particularly want to do right at this moment?
No, I just want to be there to comfort Amla.
Amla's spending a lot of time in his room being upset.
Well, I guess what I just mean, you know, make sure the inn is running
properly,
smoothly and in span.
We don't want to give old Mr. Tor, Mr. Tor a chance to get it closed down again.
No.
Oh, the other thing that you do know that's happening in the town is that the old Tanaris house where you used to live, Grendel, and where you had the funny experience with the creature tentacles, and the cellar and the tentacles. The priests from the temple have been standing guard around the house, not allowing anybody to go close to it, really, and seem to be doing some kind of purifying rites inside. As far as you can tell, you can hear chanting and stuff from outside if you go close, but the guards, the priests, and some of the watchmen as well are helping out. Aren't allowing anybody to get close.
Okay. Just going to sneak off and...
So whilst Grendel's gone off to get beer...
Which is what you do in an inn. He's just gone to change your barrel. There's nothing to change.
Okay, so is there anything that you guys particularly want to do? So there are people who, you know, so the whole thing with Tor is a bit of a... You know, it's the local gossip. It's the rumour that's going around at the moment. But nobody really seems to know what's going on. Tor has... sort of locked himself up in his house and he's not really been seen for the last couple of days.
So I could try my new ability, my Burrow Beast, and get something to spy on him, couldn't I? If I wanted to try.
You could definitely try that.
Burrow Beast, it's when it's a ritual, and it's like,
what's that guy? You mean like the wargs?
It's like Bran in Game of Thrones, effectively.
So you can actually take over an animal.
A small animal.
A rat or something.
Yeah.
If he gets killed while he's taken over, does he die?
We'll have to see, won't we?
So someone goes, oh, a rat!
That's a bit you've got to mention to me, really.
I did read out the whole description.
Does he just go back to his normal body then?
I think the rules say that if the creature takes damage, then the bond is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, if your trance-like body takes any damage, then you get broken. The bond is broken as well.
Well, yeah, I'll do that, actually. Mm-hmm. I should do Borrow Beast, and I shall try to A crow. Let's go for a crow or something like a common bird in the town.
Okay, where are you going to do this from? So it's a ritual, so it takes an hour for you to basically marshal the magic to...
Do I have to see the beast I'm going to borrow, try and... I suppose I do, really.
I think you probably do, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose I could find a secluded part in the beer garden or something like that.
Part of your job has involved you being on the roof.
On the roof, yeah.
Clearing out the gutters and stuff, so you know you can get up there nice and easily.
Yeah, okay. Some secluded part on the roof.
You just look like you might just be skiving.
Yeah, okay.
No one's going to be close enough to see that you're in some kind of weird trance. And from on the roof, you could probably spot quite easily a creature. So I think the way it'll work is you do the ritual. So you do the ritual for 59 minutes and 45 seconds, and then you project that against the creature that you can see in that last 15 seconds.
Right.
Because obviously, unless you've got the creature captive, it's not going to stand in front of you for an hour.
No. Okay.
So if it flies off or it runs off, then it's going to break the ritual.
I will, of course, inform these two what I'm up to, so they can,
Okay, so from the roof of the inn...
What are you
planning
to do once you've taken over this animal, this crow? What are you going to go...
Well, I'm going to just fly it around Mr. Tor's house and see if I can see what he's up to.
Maybe you could get into your old house and see what's going on down in the basement.
I could try that. Yes, I could fly around the whole... I could spy. Oh, God.
You can spy on everyone.
I can spy on them. This is blackmail. Quite... Excellent.
Try and find some...
So, shall I just throw away the scenario that I've written? And this is Andy blackmailing the whole of Granite Hold.
Yes. Andy becoming rich very
quickly. This is becoming one of those moments like Forbidden Lands yesterday, where we spend an hour and a half agonising over what to do with three prisoners.
It was some throw away
total point of random encounter.
5 minutes, it took 2 hours of the game.
Okay, Andy, you then, I think...
It began with good intentions, though, mate.
Did I tell you what the attribute roll was?
Yes, I assume it's...
Did you write it down?
No, I didn't write it, because let me
take 2 seconds to find it again.
I do date corruption as well, you said, didn't you?
You'll definitely get a corruption, temporary corruption. I think, being a ritual, it just succeeds.
Oh.
Rather than a... Because you have to spend an hour getting it ready.
Getting it ready.
No, I think you just cast it.
All right.
And Bob's your uncle. I think some of them require a test, but this one doesn't. Because your resolute, which would probably be the ability you'd use, is going to be sufficiently higher than a crow's or a rat's or whatever.
Yeah. All right. So I assume if I go up and level with this, I can go for bigger creatures going that way.
Just close the bloody book. No, actually, there is only one level for this.
Oh, it's novice. All right, okay. Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
Okay. So I think I am going to make you make a roll, just to see if you don't get a fumble.
Right.
So don't roll 20.
Oh, that's 17.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
There needs to be some. So, now at that last moment, so you're trying to get a crow.
Crow, just common bird, yeah.
So I think on a roll of a 10, there isn't a crow. They've all flown off out of your view for the moment. Nope, you're fine. You can get a crow.
All right.
And you go, zoom.
Okay.
And you are now?
A crow.
A crow.
Excellent. Okay, I shall...
Roll 1d4 for your temporary corruption, please.
1d4, okay. Ooh, that'd be, what's that? 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I must probably... Okay, I shall fly over to Mr. Tord's house.
Yep.
Keeping an eye for any cats.
I'm not sure the vigilant of... I guess it might be quite good. What's your vigilant?
No vigilant. Oh, God. 9.
Okay. Okay. Make a roll on your vigilant.
Are we doing this thing on D20?
If you wish to do the up to 3 D20s, that's fine.
No worries. Just 1. That's 4.
Okay, you can't see... Any cats or any hawks or anything that might be a particular threat to you?
Yeah.
Okay,
no, I'll just fly around Mr. Tor's house then. And if there's any windows or something, I'll land on the perch if the window's open. And
okay, so there's... what's the weather like today?
Sitting on the roof and they were bloody rain.
Six is going to be rain. No, it's quite bright, actually. So there is, yeah, so you've got the balcony where he's often seen. Mm. At one end of the balcony, so there's quite a lot of windows that along that balcony. Some of them look down into his main hall. Mm-hmm. Some of them are into small little windows. And then there's a balcony door.
Right, okay.
It goes into what looks like a lounge or a smoking room, and that door is open.
That door's open, is it? Okay, I must be land on the balcony where that door's open, whether the smoking room is or lounge.
Yep, okay, you can see inside, Tor is sat in a big leather-bound chair, smoking his pipe. He's on his own, reading a book.
Reading a book. I'm almost tempted to fly and crap on him. He's not dead. Can I see what book it is he's reading? Or
make a vigilant roll.
Make a vigilant roll. Okay, 12. No,
you can't. Oh, okay. You can't tell. Not from here. You're outside. Outside
okay.
The room.
I'm going. Okay. But he seems quite relaxed. Does he? He doesn't seem too annoyed or.
He's sitting reading a book, smoking his pipe at the moment. He's not stomping about, angry. He's not shouting or anything.
Okay. Oh, let's go down to my parents' house.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So as you fly down towards your parents' house, can you roll a d6, somebody? Andy, on a 6, tell me if you roll a 6.
2.
No, okay. You can fly down towards towards the old Tanaris house.
Okay, I suppose, is it surrounded or?
So yeah, outside, there's a priest and a watchman who are stood by the front door. They've got some of these sort of temporary railing things, you know, like posts they've just stuck in the ground with bits of rope on them to try and stop people getting close. And yeah, so from you can't see any obvious open doors or windows.
Nothing obvious.
You can hear some chanting. Sort of low chanting from inside, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to check how long
the
Borrowbeast lasts. I think it was up to 24 hours, actually.
Is it? Cause I suppose I should really try and find out what kind of book he's reading.
Yeah, you can maintain it for up to 24 hours.
24 hours. Okay. I'm gonna go back up to Mr. Tor. I'm gonna hop around on the balcony where you know the actual.
There's a balcony railing you can land on. Yeah.
And actually, you know, when balconies, you really you got the railings, then you got the actual balcony.
Yep.
So I land on the balcony and hop around nearer to the door where he's reading.
Okay. You can do that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you make a discreet test, please? So where is he? He's vigilant. So I'm going to give you a plus five to your target number.
So okay. So what? That's.
So you need to roll discreet plus five or less. Discreet is the third one across, that's 8.
So that's
13. 13 or less.
13 or less.
Oh, God. 19, no.
19.
Doing marvelous work.
He's seen the crow hopping about.
Out. Does he put the book? Does he?
No, he's just, he's seen it. He's seen you.
I've seen it. Okay.
He hasn't done. Yeah,
he's,
just,
he's picked up his crossbow.
Well, I'm going to just hop nearer then because I'm only a crow. I'm going to see. I'm going to look at the book.
Okay, I think you'd have to go into the room to get any chance of seeing.
Okay, and I'm going to do 2.
So you're going to go into the room.
Well, hop on the edge of the balcony between the door, you know.
So on the door where the door closes.
Yeah. Hopping around, picking whatever it is on the thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, -5.
-5. Okay. Well, actually, I've got 1 success. Got a 4.
Okay, all you can see is half of the title, which is and their minions.
And I mean, all right.
But you can't see the rest. Or the author.
Okay. Right, yeah. I suppose he throws something at me by now, doesn't he? Or...
Yeah, he's getting up and walking over towards the door and shooing the crow out.
Uh-huh.
Are you? Is the crow leaving?
The crow's leaving.
Okay, he then closes the balcony door.
Okay, I think I'll come back.
Okay, you can break the bond whenever you like.
Yeah. I'll say, well, for my first, I'll explain those books and their minions, so...
And their minions.
That was a snippet of the title. You couldn't see the rest of it.
Pot boy's serving, and he looks puzzled at you.
Okay, do I have to... Okay, I'll explain to you then. I'll say... Take you over to a corner and explain.
Okay.
And tell you what I've seen.
Still not.
The book. He was reading the book. Do we have to start doing sign language here?
It's a book.
It's at least three words.
And then, yes. He was reading about it. I spied on Tor. Yes. And he's reading book and the minions, which sounds like a summoning book.
Did you go have a look in your old house?
I couldn't get into the old house.
Potboy frowns.
Grendel bangs his head against the wall.
So as you're... where are you having this conversation?
I've just turned in the corner out of the way.
This is in the corner of the inn?
Yeah, just a slight discussion.
As you're talking, a kind of large shadow fills the open door of the inn, and it's a human with a kind of a like a big bag over his shoulder, like a big knapsack thing, and it's Veerly.
He was the guy.
You see, a hunter guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's looking quite sheepish, and he just sort of stands just inside the door with the bag on his shoulder, and he looks over to the three of you.
Should we welcome him in? Because after the last time...
So how did we leave it with him then? So we...
Well, we blackmailed him, and then he felt a bit apologetic, and we tried to be apologetic, didn't he? About it all.
Yeah, you blackmailed him over his mistress.
Yes.
He eventually agreed to confess... But prior to that, he had basically started the brawl. And the last thing you'd said to him was, "You're barred!" If you remember.
Should we let him in if he's...
We should let him in, see what he has to say. I think we should. Do you think, Potboy? Yes? Good.
Yeah.
So I'll go to him and say, really, I didn't really expect to see you here, but...
So soon?
Come in.
He says, look, yeah, I know... I know I'm barred and all, but after what happened, Bren Black, who is Tor's houseman, came round and had a go at me because obviously Tor was told that I'd made a confession, and he had a go at me in front of my wife, and the whole nine yards came out about
what your mistress,
my mistress, and my wife has kicked me out.
I raise my eyebrows when he says 9 yards.
Well, you know, I'm an impressive kind of guy. I frequently travel along. No, anyway, look, I actually just have nowhere else to go right now.
And, you used to drink in the other pubs, didn't you?
I know, but most of my old friends aren't really my friends anymore after the. You know, Black and my wife have gone and told everybody what's happened. If I don't stay here, I have to stay on the street tonight, and I don't want to do that.
What does your gut tell you, Potboy? Should we let him in? Give him a room?
Potboy frowns.
Oh, God. I think Grendel's smashed his head over the brick wall, the pub wall by now. How do we know it is not... A setup from Tor.
You're saying that to him?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You really think that Tor's going to trust me after what happened? I'm surprised that Black didn't come around and stick a knife in my back. Tor doesn't trust me anymore. I'm just asking for a bit of charity. You know, I did wrong Tor, you. Yeah, I get that. I've tried to make good on that, and now I'm kicked out of my house.
I'm sure Tor doesn't trust her anymore, but I can imagine a scenario where
you want to get back in his.
You've talked to Tor, and he said, "Well, you've betrayed my trust on this one occasion, but maybe there is a chance for you to get back into my favour by performing some action against the Lens Moga.
What am I going to do? That is going to, if I do something bad while I'm staying here, then Potboy's just going to tear my head off, isn't he? I literally have nowhere else to go. If I stay on the street, I'm going to die."
Mm. Potboy looks surprisingly gleeful at the idea of tearing his head off.
I'll be blunt with you. What have you humans ever really done for us halflings? This week we'll be quite...
Change things.
Wrong game.
And you're not even a halfling in the other game. You're a goblin.
No. Goblin, I'm a...
Well, let's think about it. Roads, running water.
Apart from the sanitation. What have the humans ever done
what
for us?
What have the bloody humans ever done for us?
Change things, yeah.
My heart is softening.
And
I sigh heavily, take his belongings off his shoulder, and what's our cheapest room?
You don't have rooms for a basement.
No, he's not going down the basement.
He's not going down the basement.
No.
I frown. And
you can sleep up the top here, can't you?
Point to the corner.
Yeah.
He says, "Look, a hard bench in the corner of the bar will be a gift."
I hold up one finger.
One of his fingers or one of yours?
One of my meaty fingers. And I say... I don't say.
You don't say?
I look to you.
In case you didn't understand that, he says one night only.
Not one night's probation.
Okay. Well, look, I can help around here. I mean, I can...
First,
until I sort things out with my wife, and if that's even possible, I have literally nowhere else to go here. Yeah, I mean,
I've still got the bag.
Thank you for one night. Thank you.
And the first sign of trouble, we will turf you straight out onto the street, night or no night.
I get that completely. I'm in your debt. So I've done wrong. I've tried to put right. I've suffered for putting it right. I'm just asking not to be left in the street to die.
One night.
Can I please request that we can review the one night policy on a daily basis?
I shake my head for the benefit of our listeners.
Okay. Unless he really does something. Prove he's trustworthy, but that's a very big if.
I mean, you can lock me up at night if you want, but if you leave me on the street, I'm going to die. Have you been on the street?
Yes.
At night?
Well, we have actually tried that, yes.
And did it go well?
Not especially.
No. I know I started a brawl in your pub. I paid for that. Should I pay for that with my life?
You could always go down. What about your mistress, to be blunt?
No, well, she's...
What?
My wife went round there and punched her in the head and she's not interested anymore. But thank you. I'm grateful for the gift of at least one night. At least my life is 24 hours longer than it would be otherwise. He says, "Look, whilst I'm here, what can I do to help?"
Nothing. You have you still have your own business, don't you?
Keep out of the way and not cause any trouble. That's what you can do to help. Mm. Not start any fights.
I'm not going to start any fights. Unless you want me to. Mm. If you tell me to go start a fight with someone, I'll do that. But I'm not going to... You know, I'm in your debt. You know, you've got me. I need you more than you need me, obviously.
Potboy holds up one finger again.
Okay. He goes in and... What did he do with his bag? Have you given it back to him?
No, I've taken it over to the corner where I can find the scummiest bench I can find and put it, untucked it under there. I turn and face him and I hold up one finger again.
Okay, cool. Okay, Amla has been at the has been in the upper bar and has seen this this happen. Yeah, he's obviously looking very, you know, quite old and upset. Mm-hmm. But he nods at your charity of letting Veerly stay.
I look up at him, hold up one finger.
And Amla goes, sort of, kind of shrugs a little bit as if, well, let's review that. We'll see. As if he doesn't want to be responsible. Yeah, you know, well, Amla and Elgar have got a long track record of taking in waifs and strays.
They have.
So he's amenable to not leaving the guy to die on the street.
Well, even waifs and strays have been involved in a plot to try and get the place shut down.
Mm. No, I mean, let us in. We didn't turn around and try and buzz his pub down for him, did we?
Not yet. Okay, so Veerly goes into the corner and he says thank you, and then he gets a bit of money and goes over to the kitchen window to pay for some food and a beer. Starts chatting to Bernard and apologises to Adalbert for his bad behaviour the other day.
And the woman who got floored, what's her
name? Ragnhild. Yeah, he didn't do that. One of his cronies did that, but yeah, he's apologising to them. Actually, of all of them, Ragnhild is the one who's most upset, even though she was kind of the least hurt. She just pushed over, but she's quite a fierce woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is why she came storming out the kitchen with
a
rolling pin trying to kill them.
So she's upset that he's getting to spend the night here.
She's angry with him, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, Ragnhild, the anger doesn't tend to last very long. She's not a bad woman at heart. Mm-hmm.
I give her an approving smile. I don't know what an ogre smile looks like.
Quite scary.
Quite scary. Yeah. Probably similar to Ragnall's smile, actually.
I show her.
One finger. Okay.
Okay. As Veerly goes off to talk to everybody else and apologise and you know, just try and make some level of amends, Amla sort of comes down and so he's looking, you know, a bit, you know, sad and kind of lonely. He comes down and says to you, don't be too hard on Veerly, okay?
Hmm? Did he try to
do the same?
Yeah. Says we've all made mistakes, foolish errors in our lives. Don't condemn the man to death. Give him a chance. And then he pats you on the shoulder. You're a good boy, Potboy.
Yes, but he's trying to get your pub closed down.
I know. But he's... That's what he says. And he then turns around and says, pads back up the stairs. And it's kind of like early afternoon now.
Mm-hmm.
He says, look, I'm just going back to my room. You can look after the pub. I'm going to go and rest for a while. And he goes back up to his rooms and shuts the door.
Potboy nodded in reply to that, of course, without saying anything.
Yep.
And,
okay, is there anything you guys want to do this afternoon? So again, I mean, there's not quite so many people in the pub, in the inn as there were before. It's sort of... But it's still quite busy. So it's not gone really quiet or anything.
I suppose being totally paranoid here with him and with what's his face in the pub, I'm going to serve behind the bar... Keep an eye on our guest.
On Veerly.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. So were you giving... Where did you place... Which bench does Veerly get to sleep on at night? Is that on the lower level or on the upper level?
Yeah, upper level, I'm thinking.
Upper level.
So I've tucked him on the bench in this corner
in
here.
In that corner... Yeah. That's overlooking the steps that come up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he seems very pleased with that. So he's got some food and a beer and he's sitting there. He's paid for it, you know, so he's not, you know. He has made sincere apologies. But then he sits down quietly to to not be in the way, basically. Nearly November the 5th, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Ah, fireworks.
Yes, yeah.
Remember, remember, the 17th of September, as it goes.
Anyway, so, the afternoon's rolling on. Is there anything that any of you wish to do particularly?
No, look, but like Grendel said, well, during our the work that we're doing, I mean, if possible, keep an eye on Bailey.
Yep.
Make sure he's not up to anything.
No.
No, he's not suspicious. Up to anything. He does, you know, once he's finished his food and his beer, he does, you know, buy another beer and then he goes downstairs to take his bowl back and talks to Bernard and Adalbert a bit again.
So he no longer has his business anymore, you know, when he's trading the stall.
Are you asking him?
Yeah.
He says, well, yeah, I mean, I've got no stock at the moment, and the guys who I used to send out to hunt and bring stuff back have kind of gone on strike. They don't really want to work for me anymore because of what happened. They might turn it around, give it a chance, but for now, I can't open a store with no goods. Like an idiot. More of an idiot than I am already. Look, I'm accepting my foolishness, and you know, I'm genuinely wanting, you know, forgiveness. And you know, as I said, I need your help.
I have an idea.
You have an idea.
We take him to Grindbone and sell him as a slave.
Wrong game.
Well, we waited some slavers to...
Well, we actually didn't do that, though, in the Forbidden Sign game. We deliberately... People who were sneaking up on us to kill us in our sleep and steal our stuff, we befriended them.
Well, I didn't befriend
I them. Think, broadly speaking, well, they were probably wanting to steal your food.
Yeah, but they were sneaking up on us and would probably have killed us, had a chance.
So this bloke, who has done crimes what we know and had to be blackmailed into... admitting to those crimes. Not like the lovely nephew of the Emerald Champion that we've just defeated.
Well, he admitted to his crimes as well. It's kind of the
same
thing.
He admitted to his crimes without being blackmailed, is exactly what I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah, but he was...
He accepted his fate.
Yeah, he probably had his fingernails torn out by Andy.
No, that was just a very good role, actually.
Out of all the non-player characters we have tackled today, this one is the worst.
I can
get why Potboy's got a bit of a bee in his bonnet about.
I didn't hit anybody in L5.
Neither did I.
None of us did.
No.
Hardly worth carrying a bloody sword.
Exactly.
Even all my
what a shit scenario that was.
Tony!
All my special preparations, which I can't tell the other two about. Fuck all, can they get you to use?
Weeks and weeks of covert email writing and... planning and scheming and no.
All gone down. I can guarantee in the next layer there'll be a fucking fight.
And we'll probably all die.
Yeah, right, fair enough.
Anyway, back to the world of Simbarim, guys.
So yeah, is that all staying in?
Yes. Right. So again, there are the people in the bar are still, you know, the talk of the town is still a little bit about what's happened with Tor and the fact that, you know, he hasn't come out of his house for 2 or 3 days. But the afternoon rolls on, and then the evening comes and the bells start to ring for curfew as the sun hits the tops of the trees to the west.
Right. Is everybody making for home?
Yeah, usual kind of thing. People start to...
Where is Vili?
Vili is sat on the bench where you've told him to sit.
Actually, good. I go round and start shuttering up from the outside.
There we are, yeah.
Yeah, that's all fine, yep. Mm-hmm. All the patrons leave with a few minutes to go before the curfew bells stop ringing.
I imagine there's quite a few fireplaces in the top bit with a bar, isn't there?
There's no fireplaces.
So I can't see from here without standing up. So on the upper bit there is. So you've got a fireplace, two fireplaces here, effectively,
and the chimney for that one comes up there. Past here.
So it does come up. So that chimney is warm. But there is no actual fireplace on the upstairs bit. Mm. But there is obviously that fireplace on the downstairs bit.
Okay.
The weather's quite good at the moment, so the inn isn't going to get very, very cold.
Cold, all right. No. It's going to be kind, but no, I'm not going to be
cold. We sleep in the basement. There's no fucking fire in the basement.
No, there isn't.
It's quite warm in the basement, though, because you are underground.
Yeah. This is a good point.
Most basements I know are damp and cold. But never mind.
Yeah. Not this one.
So what kind of time of year is it, then? What's the temperature going to be overnight?
I mean, it'll get chilly, but it won't get cold. It won't get freezing or anything.
I hasten to add that as an ogre, I'm quite prepared to have moss grow on me. So I'm not complaining about the damp and cold. I'm just saying that not many basements I've known have ever been terribly snug.
But you can make it snug because you've been living down there for 20 years.
Am I not a genius?
Yeah. I'm happy.
No, you're not a genius.
Yes, I am a genius. Look at the fire. Look, it's burning the house. I mean...
Yeah, Andy's talking about the real fire here in our lovely manor house rather than the fire in the game, which is really unhelpful for a podcast. Anyway.
Yeah, you're going to have quite a bit to cut out of this one.
I know, about... How long have we been going? About an hour. I've got about an hour to cut out. Right. So, everyone leaves. You shut up shop.
Yeah.
Vili is kind of sort of hanging around as if he wants to help, but he's not asking to help, but he's just kind of loitering as if, you know, kind of like a bit uncomfortable that he's not doing anything to help.
Yes.
He's
appearing too eager to be helpful.
Mm.
Which is raising...
Well, no, he just wasn't... Yeah, he was just...
Raising a paranoia score, like...
Kind of being available, is it?
And are we down in...
Cellar.
Are we going down to bed now?
Mm-hmm.
In the cellar? I would clasp your shoulder and look meaningfully at the barrel.
Oh, yes, I know, yes, yeah. That's what I'm thinking about. I nod.
Mm.
Yeah, the barrel where the hearts...
The
stone hearts of your parents are resting. Yeah,
okay. You're thinking I should move it. I'm thinking I should move it.
Yeah, and I'd tell the GM,
shh. Don't tell Billy. You're not listening. Yes. I did just think, for the purposes of the tape, it might be good for the listeners to know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Although, if they've been listening to the previous episodes,
they might want to cut that out as well.
The Coriolis effect. Yeah. Would like to apologise to our new visitors.
Disavows comments like that from Tony, but then we expect nothing more from him because he's a bit of a cunt.
Yes. He didn't even let us have a sword fight in L5.
I know, for God's sake.
All our
We've been waiting for this game for a year and we didn't get to fucking hit anybody.
Is it really?
I spent all my experience on Ninjutsu and Kenjutsu and I didn't get a fight.
You'll get a fight next time, I guarantee you'll get a fight.
We're not bitter about it, are we?
Not bitter about it at all.
Right, night time. You go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving, so you're letting Viri sleep upstairs,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Mm-hmm. Are we, or... Okay.
No, he's still upstairs.
Okay. He's not in the basement.
No, I told him the basement's out of bounds.
One night, upstairs.
Even though Amla said, don't be so hard on him.
Yeah, Amla doesn't run this pub anymore.
Okay, morning comes round.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Stretching. Going up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Checking the place hasn't been ransacked in the night.
Mm. Vili is asleep, tucked up in some blankets on the exact spot you told him.
Vili's bundle, putting it on the table, taking the blankets off Vili's bundle, wrapping the bundle up, tapping Vili on the shoulder.
I was thinking, if we did all that, maybe I was actually going to move the casket and bury it underneath the statue of the Lonesome Ogre.
Before waking him up?
Before waking him up.
It's quite a task to bury it under that.
Is it?
Yeah. It's not a quick job.
It's not a quick job. No. All right.
No. Don't do that.
If you start digging out underneath what's under it, you might knock it over.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And also, the barrel, as long as the GM shuts up about it, nobody knows the hearts are in the barrel.
The hearts are in the barrel? What barrel?
I said, as long as the GM shuts up about it, nobody, not even our listeners, know that the valuable stone hearts are in the barrel.
Well, you've got no idea how valuable they are.
Yeah, but I've got some a sneaking suspicion. Yeah.
Some people have killed
two of us.
You've killed for them, and others have died for them. So you obviously think they're valuable.
Mm-hmm. Well, enough to kill parents, for.
Sentimental value.
Yeah. Yeah, they're my parents' well, bloody hearts. That's all I'm going to think they're bad value. Yeah, and
money.
We're doing a lot of stone hearts.
Bloody hearts. We're trying to find out, aren't we?
A lot of these games are very similar, actually.
Yeah.
But, maybe
two Swedish games from the same manufacturer are quite similar.
Says more about the GMs, I think.
Yeah. So,
Okay.
I'm bundling him?
No, hang on. He says he ain't got stuff. He used to be a hunter, did he not? He's still asleep here, isn't he?
He was asleep when you, but he starts to wake up as you're.
Well,
no,
before
up.
You start.
No, he's been taking his blankets off him and stuff.
I've been taking his blankets off him. Has he got a bow or whatever?
No. There's a short sword in his bag.
Okay.
But that stayed in his bag.
So I'm.
No, he never said he was a hunter. He was the trader. He sent hunters out.
He had
and then,
people to do the hunting for him.
Yeah.
Except I think I might go and buy him a bow. Actually, if I can afford one, I have no idea what bows cost.
You're going to buy him a bow.
How much money? Yeah,
he wants a living.
Well, what I was thinking, if he can hunt,
you get a game to hunt rabbits for you.
No, I was going to say you go out in the forest and hunt, and then he could sell the skins around from the pub, and we take a percentage.
We take a cut. Mm. Good idea. But right now, just to make the point, I've bundled up. Is he half awake?
Yeah, he's kind of bleary-eyed.
I show him the bundle, and I stomp downstairs.
He goes, "Oh, please don't throw. Just let me have some breakfast. I can pay."
I put the bundle down just by the front door here, and then I go out to the front door and open up the shutters.
Okay, a normal bow will cost you $5.
$5.
$5 thaler.
Yeah, but thaler is German for dollar.
But thaler?
Yeah,
but I don't want to say that. If you say dollar, you have a heart attack and die.
Dollar.
Is that in real life? What's the exchange rate for the shilling to the thaler?
Oh, it's. So the thing that really annoys me about this game is is the money and the stupid exchange rate. It's just pointless, and then I can never find the exchange rate, and I should write it down, maybe. But
one, this is really weird and stupid.
Okay,
one thaler is 10 shillings. Oh. That crazy 10 shillings to the thaler.
Okay, it's just 100 or something. Okay,
so one thaler equals 10 shillings.
I will be cutting all of this out of.
So are you thinking of a different game then?
I probably am. Yeah. One of the things I love about Simbarum is the really simple exchange rate. So anyway, 100 ortegs is... 10 ortegs is a shilling. 10 shillings is a thaler.
So that's quite sensible.
It is quite sensible.
Yeah. Right.
I can understand why you hate it, because it's so boring and decimal. Oh, and by the way, it's on page 184.
Yeah, I know. I found it just about the same time.
And please excuse our GM, for having a mental breakdown there.
I've been here with you guys for 36 hours. What do you expect? Anyway, so your 5 ortegs isn't going to buy. Although I think you probably.
So how many?
Okay.
How many thalers for a bow? 5.
I've got 5 shillings.
I've got 2 shillings. Not for a bow.
I think.
I'm going to put my money up with buying a bow for.
Give me a move
anyway. Get his own bow.
Yes.
But we could fucking charity.
Yeah, I know. Bloody humans. What have humans done for hot man?
What have the humans ever done for us?
Change, well, nothing.
Roads, sanitation.
Apart from roads. Yeah,
safe to walk the streets at night or night, isn't it?
They have not made it safe.
I definitely wrote something down about this and I can't find it, which is really annoying.
What? About what?
Something that is relevant to this moment.
Some scenario detail. See, your problem is writing it down in the first place. I just make it all up on the spot.
I know.
Including double tree, 4 double, whatever.
Have you been staying in hotels lately?
No, it wasn't double. I can't remember what his name was.
I don't know where that is.
Something 4 double, I'm sure, was there.
No, okay, maybe I meant to do it, but I didn't.
Yeah,
okay, so roll.
Plan the scenario.
Ooh.
What?
Hey, look.
bitches.
You're the one who didn't plan the scenario if you didn't have a single fight in your fucking game. Ooh! Tony, roll a d6.
Oh, I don't have to.
Get some harm.
You're dead.
Six, is that, that's good. Six is really good, yeah.
So over the time you've been there, Potboy, you've saved six Sala.
Way!
You've there been significantly less time, so you've saved one Thala each.
One Thala.
So is that how much money we've
got? Can you pass me a little pencil?
So you can add. Yeah. So I'd intended to do that, but I completely forgot.
My electronic character sheet is still downloading.
Down the super fast Wi-Fi network.
So after all that, shall we actually still make the suggestion?
So we've got one Thala each, yeah.
So, I don't make suggestions. You know me. I don't confide.
So basically, Amnon gives you a little bit of pocket money every now and then. So you're not working here for nothing.
So having opened up, do I have any chores to do before I can go to market?
Not that the others couldn't do. No.
Right, I'm going to go to market and check out the bows.
Okay. So which market do you get? There are two markets here. There is the Goblin Square, which is a big market, largely goblins.
That's where his
stall is usually.
That's
based.
The one I'm going to check on.
Okay.
Actually,
there are some. Well, there are actually both human, Ambrian, and goblin bowyers here who could produce you, who could create you, make you a bow.
Yeah, but I don't want a bow, though.
But if you're,
we're going to get. I'm just checking out the quality of the wares.
No,
I know about bows, which I know nothing about.
So I have 3.7. Five is
what I was. Oh, and also, really? I'm checking out special goblin armor. How much does that cost if I've got six Thala?
Special goblin armor?
Not goblin armor. Special ogre armor.
Buy some armor for Amla.
So what kind of armor do you want?
Well, I'm only allowed to have...
No, two, so I got three. Particular.
You only have light armor, and it's got to be custom built, isn't it?
Yes.
I think it says on your...
It does not.
Okay, what's...
What the price is. It says only it's light armour, which must be custom made.
It's robust,
and costs three times the normal price.
Three times the normal price.
So what is the normal price?
So normal price for light armour, which gives you 1d4 protection, which can be anything from woven silk armour. No, you can't get that here. So you can get a blessed robe... An ordered cloak, a witch gown, or a wolf skin from here. Now,
wolf skin's more machine, I think, as an ogre.
So that's cumbersome. That will cost you three Thala.
Bow for the charity case, or three Thala cumbersome armour. What are the other alternatives?
Well, the others are going to cost you 10 times that.
Right. So wolf skin armour is one Thala normally.
Yep.
And I'm paying three.
You're paying three because they'll have to make it for you. Ooh. And they obviously need more wolf pelts and all the rest of it. Yeah. And that will also impede you.
What, make me slower? Make me less quick than I am?
I'm trying to see what ability it affects. So basically, so you get -2 on anything that requires you to be acrobatic or stealthy.
And wolfskin armour is better than light armour, is it?
It is a form of light armour.
It is a form of light armour, all right.
So I give you 1d4 protection, cost a Thala, or three Thala, for the one that you'll have to have made for you specifically, Potboy. But it does give you a -2 bonus on anything that involves acrobatics or stealth. Or anything else that I think it applies to.
So -2 on my discreet... Of five.
It says here, for poor barbarian scouts, the cumbersome but cheap wolf skin armour is a common alternative. Skin that has been tanned in the most simple way and sewn together into some kind of passable protection. Woven silk. Woven silk is the finest light armour. You can't get that in Granite Hold. Since the close weave of its threads withstands stabs and cuts far better than its weight suggests. Woven silk have been used by barbarians and Ambrians for a long time, and some scholars speculate if the knowledge originally comes from the elves, possibly dating back as far as the days of the Iron Pact. You can't get the woven silk. You could get a witch gown here, but again, it'd have to be made for
witch
you.
Gown.
What's a witch
that
gown?
Sounds like something these guys wear.
Well, it binds protective spirits in carved pieces of bone and the skulls of fallen enemies into the clothing for protection.
I feel that'd be a bit dodgy to wear around here, really, wouldn't it?
It's not going to... Being a witch, in this sense,
but no, no,
isn't automatically a bad thing.
No, I mean, being a changeling, though. Knowing how...
But you could get a wolf skin for one thalo.
No, I've got light armor only for 1d4, so...
Yeah. But for Potboy, you can't wear anything other than light armor. So did you want to commission some light armor?
No, I don't want to commission any armor.
Anyway, so you've been shopping.
Cumbersome armor when I've got discreet of 5. I do have a tough skin. Frankly, that'll do. So I'm looking at the bowyers.
Yeah.
And selecting one that I like best.
Okay, so you've got some goblin bows there. There's a crossbow, but they're quite expensive. A decent crossbow is going to cost you 8 thala.
I've got 6.
So the box standard bow, which both the goblins and the ambions are selling, or can actually make for you, because they don't really have a lot of stock. But the goblin one is of a different design. It looks more like a composite bow design, whereas the ambion one is a more traditional...
He's human, though. I'll get him a human one. How much are human ones?
So that's 5 thala. And the guy's saying, well, look... I can make you a really good longbow. A bit more expensive, but that'll do you well in combat. It's
actually
25 thala.
I listen politely.
25 thala.
Punch him in the face.
Give you a great longbow.
And then I go to the crossbow manufacturer. And they're, 8 did you say?
Yep.
I'm going to try this. This is my first negotiation technique.
Oh, good grief. What, are you intimidating?
Persuasion.
I'm just going to
stare at them.
Look with big eyes at the crossbow.
Okay.
It's not saying anything.
As if you love it.
As if I love it. And I'm going to go and try and persuade him, but not saying anything.
Look.
Like a dog at the dinner table.
Who do we have? Who are you talking to? I think this is a goblin, actually. This is a goblin called Duta. Who you know a little bit, or you know who he is. Okay, you get -2 on your persuasion.
Right, and my persuade is 15, so I'm looking for... 13. I'm looking for 13, and I get a 6.
Okay, so he sees you and goes, I can see the love in your eye for that crossbow. It's a beautiful piece, made by my own fair goblin hands. Never been fired in anger. It's a wonderful, wonderful weapon.
I lean very close. Very close to his ear. Shot.
He leans close to your ear and goes,
pardon?
Oh, God.
You don't set fire to bows.
Really funny. Yes. Okay, Potboy. Good-o. Well done. Well done. You're very clever.
There goes your fucking discount. 15 thala to you.
So, 8 thala for this bow. It's a lovely weapon.
I sigh.
And you know what? I'll even throw in 10 bolts.
I sigh and get my hard-earned coins out of my pocket. You feel this purse where I keep my coins is hardly ever opened.
Small family of rabbits climb out and run off.
No, I put those in the stew last time. otherwise, I'm having more than the rabbits that you let me catch in the last episode. So I count out the 6 coins I have. Heavy sigh. Put it back slowly in my pocket.
Make another persuasion roll.
2.
This is just for charity, boy, isn't it? Do you want to get a crossbow?
Crossbow, he doesn't need to have any skill to use a crossbow, is my thinking. He's going to complain that he can't shoot a bow, but anybody can shoot a crossbow.
What are we on accurate?
good hunting weapons. Sure.
We do seem to have a bit of a charity case in this gaming weekend.
I can't pronounce the guy's name again now. Duta says, I can't really sell you that for six. Not with throwing in the, you know, 10 bolts as well. I mean, that's a big discount, pot boy. Two?
I point to the bolts.
Two bolts.
Big wide eyes.
Okay, he's going to try and be resolute against this. So, I guess it's a persuade roll again at minus two.
Minus two.
Yeah.
15, 13. Oh, God. Six.
He says, look, okay, I'll let you have the bow and five bolts for six if I get dinner at the inn for the next three nights. Two nights.
I hold up one finger.
Two nights.
I think what we've got for dinner.
You've got old rabbit stew, I think.
No, I haven't. I've got split pea and ham. it's a Swedish game. We've got to have art. Yeah. I take his little hand in my big hand.
Okay. So he counts out five bolts and picks up the bow, hands it over to you, and takes the money. So that's six thaler. Thank you, Potboy.
Okay.
Cross it off.
You're making me cross it off the list.
Well, you spent it.
So. I did. Goes, that's my lifetime savings.
I will see you in a couple of hours, Potboy. Excellent. Ham soup. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
I thought it was rather terrible.
No, I've just said it's ham soup.
Because that's what he's got on the cooker here. Okay, in the meantime, what are you guys doing? Just opening up the inn for the morning?
Yeah, we're doing Potboy's job for him, basically, while he's swanning off shopping. Opening up.
And making sure that doesn't go anywhere near the cellar.
Now, Veely seems to be, doesn't show any interest in going into the kitchen or anything, you know, other than kind of standing at the door talking to the people who are in there. So he hasn't made any move for the cellar at all, as far as you can tell.
Yeah, okay. I just wondered, should we tell, because we've discussed this idea of him hunting, haven't we, and we tell you?
We have, yes. Mm. You tried to catch me this morning and tell me that thing.
Yeah.
Kind of as you were going out the door, I guess.
And I gave you a begrudging nod.
Mm-hmm. Which means I still haven't got a clue what
shall I return?
Okay, yeah, you come back. Yeah.
So as I come
in, you know, it's now sort of maybe 9, 10 o'clock.
I pick up the bundle.
It's really. So Veely's buying breakfast and staying. Mm. So
he's bought some breakfast.
Is he going to sit down at a table?
He's gone back to the exact spot where you told him.
I'm just
going to
go once he's done that. I'm just going to go and have a chat with the kitchen staff and surreptitiously just ask what Veely was talking to them about.
Okay. They say, look, yeah, he was just apologising
again.
You know, explaining kind of what happened and why he was in that position. He wasn't asking any particular questions. He's saying, look, you know, he really appreciates the fact that, you know, Adalbert in particular hasn't borne a grudge against him for starting the fight and then punching him in the head. Adalbert still got a bit of a black eye as a result of it. And, he really hoped that, you know, he's got nowhere else to go. You know, he even if it's just a corner and the corner to sleep at night, he doesn't want to be out on the street to be killed by the horrible things, particularly the new things that seem to be going around. Everyone's talking about. Doesn't really want to be left on the street.
Yeah,
to be
being
to
killed by the old things would be much better than being killed by the new things.
Exactly. That's pretty much.
Okay. Thanks.
So you get back, Potboy.
Carrying my bow.
Yeah.
And the
five bolts.
In one hand. I pick up the bundle of Veely's, which I left by the door.
Yeah.
Where is he? He's back up.
He's back up in his spot in that corner where you told him.
Up the stairs. I stuff his bundle beneath the bench again. Mm. Is he looking at me?
Looking at you in a rather confused way. Yeah.
I show him one finger. And then I put the bow on his table and the bolts.
All right, shall we explain? I think Ponder, so right.
Here's the thing. Yeah.
You go hunting, you bring back skins, you can stay here, but we take a cut from what you sell.
And that bow is for me?
No, that bow is for you.
I nod slowly.
He goes, deal! And he shakes your hand, like, really enthusiastically. You're like, because... Like somebody who's just been reprieved, you thought he was about to be thrown out, or you walk up with a crossbow and he thinks, okay, what the hell is going on here? And suddenly you're giving him a crossbow, you're telling him he can stay here, but all he's got to do is give you a cut. I mean, how much of a cut do you want?
Have we thought that far? Boy, have you?
I mean, I'm not a great hunter, that's why I got other people to do it, but I'll do my best.
40%.
40%.
50%.
90%.
54%. 45%.
I'm not doing percent. I'm doing five things. We take that cut. 20%.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, that's quite good. He gets free. He gets lodgings, and then he gets 20. Yeah. That's...
He goes,
we take 20%.
Yeah, we take 20% of what he earns.
Deal.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm suggesting to you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But some parts of this of the inn are off limits to him. He stays and lives in the bar area. He doesn't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
As soon as he steps out,
somebody can go to the toilet.
He can go to the toilet. We can crap.
Where is the toilet?
You crap out of the window.
Windows, man. It's on the veranda. Anywhere else.
There's no indoor toilets here, guys.
After all,
there's an outdoor toilet somewhere.
What did the humans ever do for us? Not sanitation.
You go and crap in at the river, is what you do.
You know, he stays in the bar.
You crap in a bucket and chuck it in the river.
As soon as you step,
the bucket, luxury.
Yeah. He stays in the bar area. I just
crap in my hand.
Goes outside the bar area. He's out.
What about in the game, though?
Veerly is kind of pathetically grateful. He thought you were going to be chucking him on the street and he didn't know what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And you've given him a weapon, and you've said
is that wise?
You've said he can stay here, and you've cut him a deal, which is actually quite generous. So he's
the owners and staff at the Lonesome Ogre Inn were found dead.
In their eyes, yeah.
They each had a bolt to the back of the head in execution style.
Killed in this.
But my reasoning behind this is he goes out all day hunting. Mm, he's not in the inn. We don't have to keep an eye on him.
Yes, yeah.
He still sleeps upstairs. He's not coming down in the basement, as far as I'm concerned.
No, he's not. I made that clear to him. I said, if you step outside the bar, you're out. The deal's over.
Yeah.
And he has to repay you for the bow.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing that a 20% cut comes from me until my sixth taler back. But I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough, but yeah.
Well, I'm not actually... That's what I'm thinking.
Amla might have a view, possibly.
I haven't expressed that view, because...
It's not actually your inn, it's his, after all.
Amla said that I should take pity on him.
Go easy on him. Yeah,
go easy on him. I have gone easy on him.
Yeah, I've gone very easy on him. You've gone on him so easy.
We've got to stop having these all-male get-togethers.
So it's kind of mid-morning now. Mm-hmm. Veerly has...
gone?
Basically, yeah, he's taken the bull by the horns and he's taken the crossbow. He's left his bag and stuff behind. He's gone off to basically go and look into the... just really the edges of the forest, because people who go very deep don't tend to come back.
That's where everybody hunts, though, isn't it? At the edges.
Yeah. So he's going to go and do some hunting.
If he doesn't come back, that's a win-win as well, really, isn't it?
Well, we've lost that crossbow.
Potboy smiles knowingly.
So Potboy's charity was just about having something else kill Veerly other than Potboy. That's a bit...
No, Potboy's giving Veerly a chance to make a new living for himself without working. He was profiteering off the backs of the workers. I think Potboy's a bit of an early socialist. Now here he is, setting up in business, not just taking a cut of what everybody else does. Learning to be a better man.
As long as he stays out the cellar.
As long as he stays out there and doesn't work and doesn't start shagging some tart again. By shagging some tart, I mean, you know, I'm not...
Having a meaningful relationship
with a fully empowered woman of her, with who makes decisions on her own.
Beautiful young woman. Mm. Yes, shaking some time. Anyway, so it's now mid-morning. Could you guys make vigilant rolls, please?
Vigilant.
Yeah. That'd be a nine, then, that'd be...
How vigilant am I? Oh, I'm 10.
That's a one. What's a one? Is one a critical success?
If there is such a thing.
No, I don't spot anything.
Yeah, I succeed.
Not a one.
You notice that it's now sort of 10, 11 o'clock, and Amla hasn't come down.
Oh, God.
Which is a bit unusual.
Killed her. We're going to go up there and find a crossbow bolt. And
back his head.
I mean, Amla hasn't been spending much time down, but it does tend to come out in the morning and then go away.
Well, I'll go up and...
Since Elgor's gone, anyway.
Go up to Amla's room, knock on the door.
There's no...
Then I'll
no reply.
Open the door and have a look in.
The door's locked. Or it's barred or something. You can't open it.
Give me a shout. Go on, give me a shout. I can persuade that door open.
Well, I think you've got to go in there. You've got to go there to see what's happened to Amla. So, Potboy. Yeah.
So basically, that door there, which goes into their wider rooms,
is the locked one. Okay.
There's no other
so
way
So I come
there.
Up the stairs.
So it's the door behind the bar on the upper level. Just won't open.
And, my strong is 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, what have we got?
What's your strong?
Yeah, no, we have this discussion 14. Every time, every game.
How come?
We have this discussion.
That's a good question.
I'm an ogre.
And he's
you've got a strong of 14.
Yeah.
You guys rolled stats, didn't you?
Mm.
Yeah. No, but I think the thing is, though, also, there should be a stat bonus for races, so...
Mm-hmm.
Ogres should have a strength of
15
or 16 or something, but then they lose on something else. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way the rules are. So
that's fine. I was happy with the stats until I found out you had a strength of 14. Anyway, I'm the one who looks strong. I'm the one people call when they need something strong done.
Okay. Well, sure, yeah.
So I'm going to have a go with this door first, and when I fail, you can come and open it, and I will have loosened it. Okay?
No. I would never want to step on your... My God, you've talked lots.
No, this is me as a player.
Go on then, Matt. Make your roll.
So
it's not a strong. It's not a strong door, so you can have plus five.
Plus five.
18, well, I could
have opened that then. You could have tried if you wanted to, but you didn't bother. You went, Potboy.
17.
It kind of holds and then opens. Basically, there's a little bolt that had been put across.
That you've now broken.
It's now broken.
I'll fix it. Depending on whether we've got a boss anymore.
You know that this the first room you come into doing that is kind of a reception room, lounge room.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the curtain that holds off to the corridor. Amla's room is this one here on the left at the end. And it's the bed is undisturbed and the room is empty. But you find that on the bed.
Oh, dear.
As I'm opening this...
And by that, I mean there's a note.
Yes.
For those people who are listening to
For the benefit of our listeners, as I'm opening the note, I'm walking out and into... This is Elgor's old bedroom, is it? I'm just checking to make sure he's not in there.
No, he's not in there.
So you get to read that and then translate it to us in sign language.
This is going to be the most exciting piece of podcast history ever.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll just kill myself before it's over. Yeah.
You have been listening to The Simbaroom Effect, presented by RPGGods.org and FictionSuit.org. The music was the Carvosti theme, by Iron Pact Orchestra, used with permission of Jan Ringer. Typefaces are Code by Font Fabric and Season of the Witch Black by Image X.